So it's the Bank of Japan and the RBA today. And the RBA, we know that they won't go anywhere, but will they tell us how long that they're not going to go anywhere for? We'll look at what the market is telling us ahead of the RBA telling us what they think at the press conference this afternoon, and some surprising data from China as well today in a good way. Is it the holiday season distortions, or have we turned a corner? And the Bank of Japan aiming high. Will they lift rates all the way to zero? It's Tuesday, the 19th of March, 2024. It's the Morning Call from NAB. Good morning. Well, US equities have bounced back this session, although paring back a little towards the close. Still, the NASDAQ finished up 0.8%, 0.6% for the S&P, and 0.2% for the Dow. The Russell 2000, though, is down 0.7% today at the market close. And small falls in Europe as well. The CAC 40 down 0.2%, but the Euro Stoxx 50, the DAX, and the FTSE all just in the red at the close. A small climb in the US dollar today, a small fall in the Aussie dollar, but down less than 0.1%, sitting just below 65.6 US cents now. No big currency moves really, except a 0.5% fall in the Swiss franc and a 0.2% drop in the euro. Bond yields still rising, new highs for the year so far. 10-year treasuries up another few basis points to 4.33%, only up 2 in Germany and down 1 in the UK. Aussie 10 years finished up at 4.11% yesterday. On futures now, they're closer to 4.15. And oil pushing higher again. WTI is up 2.4%. Brent up 2%, edging over 87 a barrel now. And Sky Masters is with me today from NAB in Sydney. So we've got a week of central bank decisions. But this morning, Sky, it looks like equities are stealing a bit of the limelight, doesn't it? Back to AI euphoria. In particular, Google at one stage was well over 5% because Apple is talking to them about building their AI into their iPhones, and NVIDIA is holding their AI conference this week, so they'll no doubt be talking things up a bit and, you know, hoping to talk up their share price along with it. So AI and central banks. But, you know, it's the central banks, obviously, which are interested in over the next 24 hours. And bond yields, as we prepare for those central banks, well, one of them is not the FOMC, but look at what's happening to two-year treasuries. They got up to 4.75%, which is the highest for the year to date. So, I mean, there's obviously some speculation going on now that we're going to end the year with a lot less cuts than we previously thought. So we're just seeing them drift ever higher day by day, aren't we, at the moment?
Good morning, Phil. Yeah, as you said, you know, a bit of a positive session to start the week with US equities trading higher. But also, you know, we have seen, as you said, we have seen bond yields drifting higher as well. So that sort of trend that we saw start last week following the stronger than expected US CPI data has continued this week. And with that, you have seen the market, you know, continue to push out expectations of Fed tightening. So if I look at OAS market pricing this morning, you've got a cumulative 14 basis points of cuts by the June meeting, 24 by August, and now a total of 67 basis points for the year ahead. So if you recall, the Fed's dot plot profile points to 75 basis points of cuts. So I think this is the first time in quite a while that the market is actually pricing in less than what the Fed dot plots are pointing to. So, you know, a bit of nervousness ahead of the Fed and what they, not what they're going to deliver, because no one is expecting them to actually cut rates at this meeting. But it's all about the forward guidance that the Fed delivers this week. And yeah, as I said, there's a bit of nervousness.
Yeah, and could that nervousness see us getting even higher? I mean, could 2 years get back up to 5%? I mean, could 10 years? Get back up to 5%, or is that just a bit of a stretch? I mean, it did get back in October, but it feels like we are backtracking a bit, but not as far as that may be.
Yeah, look, I think the risks of yields getting back up to sort of the 5% handle is a low risk for now. You know, particularly, you know, I think for that to happen, the market really would have to push out any expectations of rate cuts for the Fed this year. So, you know, if you look at market price action, you know, particularly the front end of the yield curve, it does tend to sort of trade below the cash rate, you know, as you approach the first rate cut. So, and I don't think anyone's expecting the Fed to sort of push out or you know, say that you know, no cuts this year. But as you can see, the market's starting to get nervous around, are they going to remove one of those rate cuts for this year? You know, NAB's, you know, yeah, the consensus view is no, they're not going to. You know, looking at the latest surveys of economists, you know, the majority of economists are looking for easing to begin in June, and the Fed to leave its dot plots for this year unchanged at 75 basis points. But the survey does say that there's a real wide range in views, in views from US economists, and you know, they're ranging from expectations of 50 basis points of cuts from the Fed this year to 225 for the year. So a very wide trading range there. But just going back to your point on yields, look, we have suggested that yields could drift higher. That yields were looking a little bit low in the US. You know, our point forecast for US 10-year Treasury yields for Q1 this year is 4.40. So we're not too far from that. US 10 years are at 4.34. Do I think they could go sustainably above 450? No, I don't. I think you'll probably get good buying interest if they hit 440. Mm. And, you know, this could be that sort of price action where you see all the moves ahead of the Fed. And, you know, maybe yields drift a little bit lower post the Fed as fears of you know, a hawkish Fed coming out of this week's meeting are allayed.
Well, look, property developers obviously got a fairly optimistic outlook because the housing market, the NAHB housing market index, is up at 51 from 48 in the numbers out overnight. It's the first time it's been over 50 since last July. So actually 4 months in a row now, that index from a low in November, that index has been rising. Wouldn't be rising if they thought interest rates are going to be staying higher for too much longer, would it?
No. So as you say, that's the fourth consecutive monthly increase in home builder confidence. And, you know, market expectations were for it to remain at 48. So a positive print there. You know, and confidence, I think, is being boosted by the lack of existing homes on the market, but also expectations of for future sales, as you know, your 30-year mortgage rate is quite a bit lower than where it has been, and that seemed to be boosting demand. And so, as you say, you know, I guess you wouldn't expect to see that confidence continuing to tick higher if there weren't expectations of lower rates in the year ahead.
So we will talk about the Bank of Japan and the RBA in just a second, but we had surprising data, encouraging data from China yesterday. So industrial production lifted a little, up 7% for January, February, because they combined January and February to get over discrepancies from the Chinese New Year. But 7% was way more than expected. Retail sales at 5.5%, also more than expected. Fixed asset investment, 4.2% year to date. It was expected to be only 3.2%. So some positive outcomes from China. I wonder whether this is just a one-off because of the you know, the holiday season, or whether they've turned a corner.
Yeah, I can't answer that for you. I'm not sure whether it is a one-off or they've turned the corner, but it was definitely, you know, some positive news coming out of China, particularly on that industrial production data, which came in sort of well above market expectations. It came in at 7% on an annual basis versus forecasts of 5.2. And so, you know, suggestive that there has been some traction from the stimulatory government policy. On the retail sales, though, I think it was a little bit softer than expected, so a little bit disappointing on the consumer front there. So a fairly subdued start for the year from the consumer.
So the RBA, obviously, today, and the Bank of Japan. Let's look at the RBA first, obviously, because it's closer to home, even though we know that they're not really going to do anything. I think there's a 5% chance that there'll be a cut, but, you know, pretty slim. So the question is, what do they say at the press conference? Because we always get a press conference now. I mean, if you look at the implied yield going late into the year, it doesn't get below 4% till December. So we are stuck on Table Mountain for quite a while, it seems, aren't we?
Yeah, we are definitely for the RBA. So your NAB's forecast is that the RBA won't start cutting until November. So we get the decision at 2:30, and as you said, the press conference afterwards. So that's at 3:30. And it's widely, you know, expected that the RBA will be on hold at this meeting. There are no forecast updates either. So, you know, not a lot of new information to come out of this meeting. And, you know, data since the last meeting has broadly fallen in line with RBA expectations. So, you know, the expectation is that the RBA will maintain their mild tightening bias. So sort of maintaining that comment that, you know, a further increase in interest rates cannot be ruled out. So probably nothing new here for the RBA. I think, you know, more importantly will be the employment report out on Thursday.
Yeah.
That's probably, if something's going to move the Aussie market, it's probably going to be that one rather than the RBA.
Right. Well, a couple of days before we get there, the Bank of Japan, though, that is today as well. I think it's about the same time as the RBA, isn't it? Will they move from minus 0.1% to zero? There seems to be an increasing expectation that's going to happen. I'm not sure if it really makes too much difference, but also sort of abandoning the yield control curve. But as we yield curve control, I should say. But as we were saying yesterday, you know, it's that's not been having a lot of effect lately either. So, how significant is this move by the Bank of Japan?
Look, it is obviously significant. You know, if they do exit their negative interest rate policy decision, that, you know, that'll be the first rate increase in over a decade. You know, recall they did introduce the negative policy back in 2016. So it is significant move, but it has been well telegraphed. So, you know, the news reports coming out of the papers, there was another Nikkei report overnight, pointing to, you know, a removal of the exiting negative interest rate policy and also ending yield curve control. So, you know, widely expected, and so, you know, possibly a drama-free BOJ decision. Let's see, but, you know, if they deliver what's been in the newspaper reports, I think it will be drama-free. In terms of the timing, you know, announcements are never pre-arranged, but it's likely to come between 1:30 and 2:30 today. So, yeah, it could fall at the same time as the RBA.
Right. Okay. Which central bank are you going to listen to? Saying nothing at all. Let's take your pick. So we get the ZEW survey, the ZEW Economic Sentiment Index for Europe and for Germany today. Now, last time we spoke to Gavin, tail end of last week, he was sounding pretty bullish about Europe. He's an analyst. The ZEW survey is all from analysts. So is he alone, or is he sharing the sentiment with other analysts about where Europe is going? But he was painting a slightly more optimistic picture. So we'll see what that brings today. And Canada's inflation. So the core rate was at 2.4% year on year in January. You know, many people would dream of that right now, but there is an expectation that the headline rate could pick up a little this time. It was 2.9% last time, which is the lowest since June. It's been over 3% since June, but not over 4% since last April. So it seems like the hard work is done from Canada. So even though if it ticks up a little bit, no one's going to be too disturbed by that, are they?
Yeah, I think the view is if it comes in line with expectations, it is going to leave the BOCA cautious in terms of timing of the first rate cut. So, you know, as you said, the headline annual rate is forecast to tick up from 2.9 to 3.1%, while the main core measures are supposed to be stable. But recall that, you know, Macklem has pointed out in recent commentary that the BOC needs to see a further easing in the median and trim measures of inflation. So, you know, stable is it's not heading higher, but it's also not easing. So yeah, our sort of view would be it would just leave the bank as being a little bit cautious.
Yeah. All right.
And as every central bank is at the moment.
As they are. Absolutely. Yeah. And building permits and housing starts for the US today. That is about it. I mean, we didn't talk about oil. Well, maybe we'll touch that later on in the week if we get a chance. But it is creeping back up again. And it is geopolitics and Vladimir Putin. What a surprise. He won the Russian election. Who would have thought that? But I mean, that does raise the question, doesn't it, about, you know, how that influences geopolitics if we get increasing military action. So, you know, just something else to watch in the background. So much to watch, Sky. But that's it for us for now. We'll catch you again soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil.
And that's it. That's the Morning Call from NAB. I'm Phil Dobby. I'll be back again tomorrow morning. Thanks for tuning in today.